Welcome to Extreme Faith with Dr. Gerard Curry, Senior Pastor of Christ Family Church in beautiful Port St. Lucie, Florida.
Good morning. How's everybody this fine morning? I know if you were thinking if you're a duck, you'd probably be a lot happier. A lot of water out there, isn't it? But you know what? We need it. We need it. We shouldn't be Christians that complain because it's raining, because we prayed for rain. Then when the rain comes, we complain for the rain. You know, we ask God to, God, help me get rid of this anger in my life. And then he puts Mr. or Mrs. Sandpaper right in your face. And they say, God, what are you doing? Can't you? Well, you asked him. Amen. We pray for rain. It comes, we complain. It's too much rain. So let's just be grateful to God for all that he does. And you know what? I do believe also that what you see in the natural realm is very, very often, especially in the political arena, but it's very often what's taking place in the spiritual realm. And God did say the latter rain would be greater than the former rain. And this could be a start of stuff that's taking place. God will not be outdone. How many of you believe that? God will not be outdone by anything or anyone. Amen. And so I'm excited. Amen. You ready to make a faith statement? Let's say it and mean it. Mean it, mean it, believe it. You ready? Let's say it. This is my Bible. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. I am what it says I am. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, living seed of my living God. My heart is receptive, my mind is alert, and I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Praise God. You may be seated. God is so good, isn't he? I've entitled this today, if I am not under the law, then ... what? Really, what does it mean? Go with me to Romans 6. Romans 6. Now, you know, we get into situations in our lives sometimes where people have said to me, maybe you've said it, maybe you've said or someone has said it to you, that I'm not under the law. Don't give me the law. I'm under grace. Yes, we are under grace. We've gone from the dispensation of the law where we had to work to get any approval from God. That was in the Old Testament. We had to do things to get the approval of God. But when the grace came, Jesus came, for by grace, Ephesians 2:8, you all know it, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. For by grace are you saved. Jesus was God's grace coming onto the earth. And it's by that grace we got saved. So now it goes from works in the Old Testament and law in the Old Testament that we have to keep to grace where I now have to believe. There's a big difference. I had to do something. Now I have to receive something. Once I get Jesus, I go from the law to grace. And I go from the old covenant to the new covenant. The Old Testament to the New Testament. And then the Bible also says in Hebrews 3 that the Bible says that our covenant now in the New Testament is founded on better promises than the old. Amen. So it's so much better now that all I have to do is believe God to receive the benefits of being in the kingdom of God than to work to get approval and acceptance and get what I need from God. Amen. Now, there's still a lot of people that are very religious. They still tend to work towards approval with God. But God says, enter into my rest. Yes. Tell your neighbor, say rest. Yes. You got to enter into his rest. He, when he finished on the cross, he said, it's finished. It's done. And then the Bible says, our high priest once for all offered himself and now is seated. He's rest. He's at rest. He's not coming back on the cross to give any more. He didn't forget some sickness. He didn't take one, there was one sin that he missed. No, it's finished. It's completed. Amen. And now he's at rest. He's our high priest now once for all. Before, the high priest had to go in every year and sacrifice a spotless lamb in the holiest of holies. Only he was allowed in. To the Holy of Holies, sprinkle the blood which would cover the sin, not take it away, it would cover it for Israel. Amen. But when Jesus came and offered his blood, he did it once for all. Everyone say once for all. And the beauty about it is that when they did it in the old covenant and slaughtered the lamb, or the goat, or whatever it was that they did at that time, it had to be spotless. When they did it, it was only for the children of Israel. But when Jesus came, he did it once for all. For God so loved the world that whoever believes on him, amen, should receive the salvation, not perish. You understand? And so we went from law of works and do's and don'ts, we went into rest, grace, and say, I receive and I believe. Because we all understand that none of us could have been good enough to earn a place in heaven. Because our most righteous acts and deeds, God says in Isaiah 64, 6, are smelly rags in his nostrils. Our best day doesn't compare to any day in God's kingdom. And so it took the blood, the spotless blood, hence the virgin birth. The spotless blood of God. Not an animal. That's why John Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God, when he saw Jesus come. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The spotless Lamb, Jesus Christ, came once for all. He did it once for all. And we go from law to grace, from work to rest, from doing to believing. You understand? And so we thank God for Jesus. That's why we worship. That's why we praise, because it's such an incredible thing he did for us. Not to mention the fact that he's our Father, that he's our Creator. Amen. And so in Romans 6, we're looking at verse 14. It says here, for sin shall not have dominion over you. Let me stop right there. That's a great word right there. Sin shall not have dominion over a child of God. A born again, blood washed, righteously made righteous by God. Right? 2 Corinthians 5:20 tells us, and 21 tells us, that he became sin, that we could become righteous. The righteousness of Christ in our lives. Amen. So it's his righteousness that came on us. And so now he says to us, for sin shall not have dominion over you. We have dominion over it. We have dominion over the enemy. We have the devil under our feet. We're not under his feet. We were, but we're no longer. Right? So sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law. You are not under the law, but you're under what? You're under grace. For by grace, thank you, Jesus, are we saved. Thank God for the grace of God. You see, if it weren't for the grace of God, we'd be in a mighty mess. You know, I just love where Zerubbabel said to the mountain, grace, grace, and became a flattened plain. I'm telling you, grace, when Paul the apostle was going through a terrible time, he was facing everything, and he said, Lord, help, Lord, help, Lord, help. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. Jesus is sufficient. You don't need grace and. You don't need Jesus and. All you need is Jesus. All you need is grace. And Jesus is grace. Amen. Grace and Jesus are synonymous. Praise God. So he says, you're not under the law, but you're under grace. But now we got to watch out, because you get greasy grace. People get into this mindset of, well, that's cool. I can just sin as much as I want. The Bible says to Paul, does that mean we can do what we want and sin as much as we like? He said, God forbid no, in the book of Romans. He said, God forbid no. You see what happens with grace? Grace empowers you and helps you stop doing what you couldn't do otherwise. It's the grace of God, the Spirit of God that comes on you that helps you overcome those sins that so easily beset you before. And so you've got to tap into that grace of God to overcome the sin in your life and to walk under grace. And so many people think, well, this is a license to sin. It ain't. God hates sin. And so should you. We should all say, yeah, and I found out you don't need a license to sin. Amen. None of us got that license, did we? But we're all pretty good at doing some wrong things sometimes. Amen. So This is not a license to sin. The grace message is a beautiful, brilliant message of Christ, His blood, His mercy, of God our Father, whose mercies endure forever, and they brand new every morning. It is not a message saying you can do as you please and drag the blood through the mud. Sin is still sin to God, and He still hates sin. You understand? And don't call it the mistake. Call it sin. Amen. Because when you mollycoat it and you sugar candy it and you make it look pretty and you give it all the frills and all the stuff, you'll think, well, it's not so bad. And then what happens, listen, the devil's very, very crafty. He comes and he desensitizes people. He will desensitize you. He will bring you videos and people that are supposedly knowing what they're doing with diplomas and degrees and university they've been through and all that, telling you that it's okay to do X, Y, and Z. And if they will say, and eventually you become desensitized, and he says in the end times, sin will not be considered to be sin anymore. Have you seen it taking place now? It's not considered sin in a lot of circles today. Amen. So we're not talking greasy grace here. Just do as you please. God's got this. We're not talking that. Amen. We're talking about overcoming the wrong in your life through the grace of God. That's what it does. It empowers you by His grace, like it empowered Paul by His grace. He said, my grace is enough. You don't need any more. But we've got to learn to tap into it and utilize what's available to us. Amen. Because what is the point of me giving you, you've now got a farm. We just gave you a farm. A whole brand new farm. And we gave you a farm of 100 acres, and we gave you all the seed in the world, and we gave you all the tools to do the job. But you left the tools sitting at home and you did nothing with them. What good is a farm with a lot of seed? You got to take the tools that are available to you and utilize them and furrow the ground, Chris. You got to follow it and do all that stuff. And then you plant it with all the machinery, and then you got the sprinklers watering it. You can't have tools and not use them. Of course, they're useless. And God's given us tools. He's given us all the tools we need. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And so, does not being under the law mean that Christians are lawless? Is that what it means? Does not under the law mean that believers have no moral restraints and ethical guidelines whatsoever? Is that what you're not under the law? Is that what it means? Pastor, I like this message. Woohoo! I'm going to go for it now. No, that's not what it means. When a believer says, I'm not under the law, let me tell you, it's scriptural if we assume, and the person is referring to the law of Moses. The law that God gave Moses. You're not under that law, over 300 laws. In fact, over 3,000. I got that wrong. I took one digit away. Do you know how many laws there were? Do you know that it was impossible for mankind to fulfill the law? That's why Jesus, when he came, the Bible says, He didn't do away with the law. He fulfilled. Everyone say fulfilled. That's what the word says. The Bible says Jesus fulfilled the law. You see, and by me receiving His righteousness on me, I've got the law fulfilled in my life as well. But it does not mean I'm free to live and act like the devil. You know, on Sunday I'm praising God. On Monday I'm playing with the devil. Ain't right. It's not right. That's not what he's talking about. In fact, if you even do a casual study on the book of Romans and Galatians, you'll see that God supports us, that it's under the law of Moses. We're not under that law, the do's and don'ts that we have to do, but there are still a lot of them that are relevant to us today. Right. For instance, thou shalt not kill, still today. Right. Yeah. In fact, some of them are a little bit, because Jesus said, if you think on the woman, it's almost as good as doing the adultery. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, remember? Jesus said, if you're even thinking on it. Amen. So in some instances, but can you see, the point is, there's still a lot of stuff from the old covenant that is relevant to us today in the new covenant. I don't have to tithe, I'm not under the law. You're right. And the people who say that, let me tell you, are the ones who say, I'm going to give just from my heart, and it's going to be way more than the tithe. Check their records. And you'll say, yeah, right.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Extreme Faith. To hear this message in its entirety, log on to ChristFamilyChurch.net or Join us for our live services on Sundays at 10 a.m. in our beautiful Tradition Town Hall facility.